I've learned in my own experiences that when the Lord, when there's something that I'm praying for, there's something that I'm asking the Lord for, there's something that I'm needing, I can pray and I can ask the Lord. And if I don't hear what the Lord is saying, oftentimes what I've learned is that the Lord's already told me something. He's already given me some kind of indication, some kind of inspiration. It may not have been something that was great and grand, but he's giving me some kind of indication to go forward. And so the way that you do it in those kinds of circumstances, when you don't have just a clear, the word of God or something so plain and clear in your own mind, then what you do is, Lord, if this is the direction that you want me to go, let me know that. I'll stop anytime you tell me to, but I am going to proceed with caution. So I'm going to go forward. I'm going to walk in this direction, Lord. And I'm very cognizant of what you're saying to me. And I'm listening with my heart. And I'm listening with my ears. And I'm listening with everything in me that I want to hear from you. I want to know what you would have me to do. So I proceed with caution. So I take a baby step. And then when I see that the Lord is blessing that, I take another baby step. And then I take another baby step. And before you know it, the Lord has spoken to you, and he's given you clarity, and he's given you understanding. He said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I already given you. All right? He's not going to give it to you. He's already given it to you. And I'm not going to preach the message that I preached the other day, but I want us to get reiterated. I want us to understand that we walk by faith and not by sight. That the Lord is telling Moses or Joshua here, he said, the Lord spake to him. This is why I wanted us to get a hold of that. That the Lord talks to us. He didn't just stop talking to us with the Old Testament. During the Old Testament, he talks to us now, doesn't he?
Yes.
He speaks to our mind. He speaks to our heart. He gives us what he gives us understanding through his word, through his preached word.
Yes.
Through the word, as we said, and we are on our in our devotion. The Lord speaks to us, doesn't he? How many times I believe the Lord has spoken to every person in here? Mm-hmm. He says that. The scripture bears it out. Wow. He says that the spirit to every soul. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to every man, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we might live righteous and sober and godly in this present world. Doesn't matter if the person is saved or not saved. God speaks to us. He speaks to our heart. He speaks where we are. I may not understand you, and there are times that we have presented ourselves to somebody, and they didn't really understand where we were. And they don't know, you're misunderstanding me. You're misunderstanding what I'm saying, what I'm talking about. Have you ever been there before?
Yeah.
I don't know about husbands and wives. We misunderstand. I don't know. Women think differently than men, I've learned. Mm-hmm. Out of the 35 years that I've been married, we think differently. And we wonder sometimes, well, I did exactly what you said. No, I said bring me pink. That's fuchsia. Well, what's the difference? We think differently, don't we? So there's a misunderstanding. We misunderstand each other, but God doesn't misunderstand it. When we have that color in our mind or whatever it is that we have in our mind, God knows exactly what we're talking about, and he knows exactly what he wants us to do. Now, here's the question. Do we know when he has it in his mind what he wants us to do? Lord, help us.
Yes.
All right, let's read. Fourth verse.
From the wilderness,
and this Lebanon,
even unto the great river,
the river Euphrates,
and all the land of the
Hittites,
and unto the great sea,
toward the going down of the sun,
shall be your coast.
He says, I'm going to give you all of that. He says, again, you walk by faith. Well, Lord, how are we going to get that? There are giants in there. There are cities that are strongholds. How are we going to get all of these things? And we're over on this side of Jordan. But he says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have already given you. And he also tells us that you walk by faith, not by sight. You don't look at the things that you see. Now, we tend to look at the things that we see because we're human, right? And what God wants us to do, again, what I'm saying, faith is not a reckless abandonment of our senses and a reckless abandonment of what is right and just and all those kinds of things. It's not that. It is standing on the word of God.
Yes.
When God inspires you, when God gives you an understanding of what he wants you to do, our responsibility is to walk in that. Walk in the faith. It is based on the word of God. All right? All right? Read, please.
Verse 5. There shall not any man
be able to stand
before thee
all the days of thy life.
As I was with Moses,
so I will be with thee.
I will not fail thee.
Nor forsake thee. Why did he have to say that? Why does he have to say that? That I will not, he said, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. So there are going to be times in our experience that the Lord wants to inspire our faith and our confidence in him. What he's going to tell him, Joshua, you were Moses' minister. That's what it said in the first verse, right? You were Moses' minister. You were there with Moses. You saw what I did with Moses. You saw when Moses walked up, when Moses stood at the Red Sea and he held out his staff and the waters divided. You saw that, didn't you? Yes. You saw when he brought water out of the rock. You saw the manna. You were there. You understood. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you as well. The Lord said, I will not fail you. Now, let me tell you what that means to me. You know, sometimes we go back and we're so, we have all the old saints. Remember the old saints? And old brother so-and-so and old sister so-and-so. And how my mother, she was a godly saint and all those kind of things. The Lord was with them. He was with your mama. He was with Brother Chandler. He was with all these other brothers and sisters out here that I don't even know. He was with them. He's going to be with you in the same way. God is no respecter of persons. So what he wants to get into our mind is, if you're going to have faith in God, it wasn't something that happened with old sister so-and-so and old brother so-and-so. Well, in our dispensation, we just don't have it. No, we just have not consecrated and sacrificed and done what we need to do to get what they had. We can have more than they had. We can. We're going to be inspired that I can go a step further than old sister so-and-so. Not that I'm trying to be more than old sister so-and-so, but I'm just saying, Lord, I want everything you've got for me. I want it. Every place that the sole of my foot shall tread upon, that is what I want. And I'm going to step out on it. I'm going to go cautiously in the time when things are not going in the way that I want them to go, or when I don't see the break in the cloud, so to speak. Well, Lord, I'm going forward because I'm not standing on what I see. I'm going by faith. By faith, all right? So he says, I will be. That's a comfort, isn't it? That's a comfort to know that the Lord says, I'll be with you just like I was with old brother so-and-so. I'll be with you just like I was. Remember the last trial you went through that was hard and heavy and it was so big and so strong you never thought you'd get through it, and you got through that? The Lord says, just like I was with you there, I'm going to be with you here, right? Isn't that wonderful? The Lord's going to be with us. We don't have anything to worry about. And this is why the Lord wants us to preach on these kinds of things. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Stand on the Word of God. Amen. The Lord will take you through. I remember one time, I may have told you the story, but I feel like the Lord wants to say it again. I remember one time, the Lord, we needed some money, and I asked everybody I knew for it, and I couldn't get it from anything and from anyone. And the Lord told me, gave me a scripture, just a piece of a scripture. Nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. And so you know what? I stood on that. I stood one foot on nothing and the other foot on wavering. And you know what? The Lord brought me through it. The Lord gave me exactly what I needed when I needed it. And you know what? It wasn't easy. You know what? All the things that I'm saying is easier said than done. I understand. And you know, I believe that this is the reason that God has men to preach to men about these kinds of subjects. Because we have gone through those kinds of things and we're still going through it. Now, one of the things we talked about, we walk by faith. Walk by faith, not by sight. All right, we walk by faith. Now, when you take into consideration walking is something progressive, right?
Yeah.
And it's not that you're going to stay in this particular position all the time. Now, in anything that it has to do with anything, our faith is not the same faith that we had. It's not, should not be at the same level. It is not. It's not. It should not. It cannot be at the same level it was when we first got saved.
That's right.
It has to be progressive.
Amen.
The very nature of faith is, yes, I had enough faith to get saved, but you've got to have enough faith to stay saved too.
That's true.
Right? And so in the same way, we walk by faith. So I'm going to walk by faith, which tells me that what it is, if there's something progressive, that God has an intention for my faith to grow.
Right.
for my faith to progress, for things that that I once couldn't believe, trust God for, I can trust God for those things now. And now as it goes on, as my life goes on, and as I walk and as I go progressively along, then there are going to be other things that God is going to require of me, He's going to desire of me, there's going to be a design that He has for me, and I'm going to have to continue on. So walking is something that we continue, as we say, it's progressive. I walk by faith, not by sight. Because if I walk by sight, the majority of us, now we can, you know, some things, there are those of us that can trust God for some things, you know? Okay, so those with an education, you know? Some people just don't see myself with an education, people say, right? But then there's somebody that's sitting right beside him and says, you know what? I believe that what I can believe, I can achieve. All right? And so that they go in and educate with an education. I was telling my daughter, she was saying, Dad, I don't see any reason for me to continue to go to school. I said, girl, let me tell you something. You know, your job is to go to school right now. That's your job. And you're going to go until, you're going to go for the next 10 years. And she did. She went for the next 10 years. Well, why? All my friends aren't working. I said, let me tell you something. When they're all out working, you finish a little 4-year degree, that's all right. And you're out, and all the rest of your friends are out there working, but they're going to be working the rest of their life. You just continue to go to school, and you never have to go to school again. And she doesn't ever have to go to school again. Ever. She believed that she could do it. She didn't know that she should do it, but she believed that she could do it, right? And then there are some folks who just don't believe. I'm not saying necessarily that education is fair, that there is some kind of education for everybody, but going to college is not for everybody. I say that. I mean, you know, you got to have the people that are work with their hands. You don't have to have a college degree for that. You got to have the people that are going to do manual labor and those kinds of things. Nothing wrong with it. It's an honest living. I don't know why I got onto that. But the whole point is that we can believe. If we can believe a particular thing, you can achieve it. Now, you can do that in the natural realm. In the natural realm, if you don't believe that you can do it, you won't do it. I promise you. If you don't believe that you can make an A in algebra, I guarantee you that you won't. You won't be surprised, oh, I made an A. No, you're going to put forth the effort that it takes to make an A in algebra, and you're going to believe that you can do it, or else it's not going to happen, right? Well, what do you think is going to happen in the spiritual realm? If I believe that I can stay saved, I can. If I believe that I can defeat the enemy of my soul, I am going to do whatever it takes to make that happen. If I can believe it, I can achieve it. I walk by faith, not by sight. Well, it seems like the devil is destroying me. It seems like every time I take 2 steps forward and I take 1 step back, the devil just comes and hits me. At some point, you've got to read the Word of God, and it says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that if you resist the devil, if you start pushing back against him, let me tell you, are you better off fighting on your knees, on your back, or standing up on your feet? If you were in a fight, a hand-to-hand combat, how would you want to be standing? All right, I want to be standing on my feet too. May the Lord help us. There are all kinds of scriptures here. There are all kinds of promises in the Word of God that the Lord tells us. Listen, He said, put on the whole armor of God. You can resist the devil. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If you do that, you will defeat the devil. Now, do you suppose I've never had any problems with the devil? He's never come up against me. He's never accused me. He's never told me that you're stupid and all of these kinds of things. He's never said that to me. Absolutely, He says it all the time.
Yes, right.
But you know, it's whatever I listen to, I can listen to him or I can choose not to.
Amen.
I can walk by faith. I can make it progressive that I'm not going to listen to the devil. Devil can tell me anything. I don't care what he says. If I know it's the devil, don't believe him.
Amen.
You resist him. Now, you choose what you believe, don't we? We choose what we're going to believe. So there are going to be some people that say, you know, I don't believe that. I don't. Have you ever said that? Whatever it may be. I don't believe that. I don't believe that's... And then when you come to that kind of conclusion that you don't believe it. And it's not... You know what the scripture says in one place? It said, God, Christ did not many mighty works in certain places. Why? Because of their unbelief.
That's right.
They just wouldn't believe. So you know what? You can tie up God's hands. You can tie up the Lord's hands. The Lord wants to bless you. He wants to bless all of us. But we can decide in our mind, I don't believe that. I'm going to only go so far. I'm going to stop here. I'm not going to go any further. And I the Lord will let you stop there. But let me tell you something. There is something greater. There's something that's beyond that. And I've been in situations where I'll tell you something. I remember one time where somebody, when I first moved to Dallas, I'm 26 years old, and I was asking people, like I'm asking them here, and then I'm looking at them, it's deja vu almost, but here's the situation. I'm saying, well, where's a nice place to live? We wanted to buy a house. We've always been into not renting. I know some people have to rent and whatnot, but I just haven't rented. And so I'm saying, where's some nice places to buy a house? And so this sister in the congregation said, well, there's a nice addition up there off of Jim Miller and I-30. That's area. It's called Buckner Terrace. And we drove up there, and I thought, I can't afford these houses. I can't afford them. And then you know what? There's something that happened. There's something that happened in my mind, and we didn't afford them. So we moved into a little bitty two-bedroom, one-bath house that we renovated like we're doing here, because that's all we could afford at that particular time. But then I remember the Lord just kind of spoke to me, and I had started in the real estate business, and the Lord kind of spoke to my mind, you know, like, you can do that if that's what you want to do. You're limiting yourself. You're limiting where you are. And that's not exactly how he said it. It came in various ways, but for the sake of time, you don't have to know how it came. But the Lord kind of spoke to me like that. And then after that, it seemed like it broke something. It broke, and then I realized that you really can do whatever it is that you want to do. Whatever you set your mind to do, you can accomplish that, right? Now, I know within reason that you can accomplish that. And I don't want to, but here's what I'm talking about is when it comes to the things of God, when God gives you something, you can do the impossible. Amen. When God inspires your mind, when he drops it in your mind that this is what I want you to do, then you can say, well, Lord, these are all the reasons, and I can elaborate 1, 2, 3, all these. This is why I can't do that. And the Lord said, well, I told you can. I've given you my word. I've inspired you in this way. And because I've inspired you, nothing is impossible with me.
Amen, Lord.
Nothing is impossible. So what we have to understand is it's not based on us. It's not based on me. It's not based on my ability. It's based on my ability to believe.
Right?
Right? All right, another scripture. I want to base this on scripture. All right? All right, let's go to Matthew, the 14th chapter and 28th verse. Very good scripture. I know y'all all know that. Know the situation here. Matthew 14, verse 28.
Matthew 14, verse 28.
Yes.
Put it on the board.
14 and 28. All right.
And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.
Okay, so they saw Jesus walking on the water in the middle of the night. And if I was in a boat and it was already rocking and it was, waves were coming over, I would be scared, number one, alone, right? And then you saw something, this person out in the middle of the lake or the ocean or wherever you were, and you saw this person walking toward the boat, that would scare me even more, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Let's just be honest with ourselves. So Peter and them were frightened. And the Lord said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Now, you know what? I believe with those words, there was something that was comforting and they knew it was the Lord. You know someone's voice, right? I would know my wife's voice out of anything, anyone else's voice. I would know her voice. They knew the Lord's voice, right? And so he's saying, be of good cheer, it is I. So Peter knew that it was him, it was the Lord. And so what did Peter say?
And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou.
If it really is you, Lord.
Bid me. Come unto thee.
Come unto thee.
On the water.
On the water. Now, I want to make a couple points here. He did not jump down in the water and start walking to Jesus. He got permission first,
yes.
Which makes sense, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So this is why when I say our faith is initiated by the word of God.
Yes.
It is not initiated by what we want to do. And I want to do this, so therefore, I'm going to just jump out and I'm going to do it. That's not what it's all about. It is initiated by the Word of God. So it's something in the Word that I found, it's something that and the Lord has inspired that Word. So in other words, I just can't do it, even if the Word of God tells me I can do a particular thing. I still need inspiration by the Holy Ghost, right? And so here is Peter. He said, Lord, if it be you, allow me to come to you. Bid me that come to you on the water. What does Jesus say? One word.
Yes.
One word. You can stand on one word. One word of God, one of God's words, just one of them. All right, and he said, come. And so what did Peter do? Peter got down out of the boat and started walking, literally doing the impossible. Walking on water. All right, now he can do that. And you know what? And what happens though?
But when he saw the wind.
But now we walk by faith. He was walking by faith, not by sight. Alright, so now what happens? So he's walking on the water. He gets down by faith based on the Word of God, and he's doing what no other man has ever done. I've never done it, and no other man has ever done it as well. Only Peter and Jesus, from what my understanding is. Alright, but he did it based on the Word of God, and he did it by faith. And what we have to understand, we can do the impossible. We can do something that's impossible. This is not a, you know, when I was in selling real estate, one of the things that they would have is these motivational speakers that come in and they get you motivated and inspired, and you're walking on coals and all these kinds of things. This is not that. This is the Word of God.
Yes.
It's not, I want to inspire you today. I want to inspire you to know that God is able to do anything. What's the problem in your life?
Amen, Lord.
What's going on in your life? What is it that you need God to do for you? He can do it. Well, Brother Daryl, you don't understand. My husband, my child, my boss, my whatever it is, whatever excuse you have, it doesn't matter. God can do something about
Amen,
it.
Amen, Lord.
God can change your circumstances.
Yes.
God, as long as you walk by faith, stop looking at the circumstances. Stop looking at the waves. Because I promise you, when you start looking at the wind, you're going to start to sink. So this is what happened to Peter. Peter said, Lord, bid me come to thee on the water. He came down, he started walking toward the Lord, and then he got his eyes off Jesus.
Yes.
He got his eyes off Jesus. And when we get our eyes off Jesus, we always have a problem. Every time. So now what does he say? He said, Lord. And so he began to sink.
When he saw the wind, boisterous.
The wind boisterous.
He was afraid. And beginning to sink.
Do you know sometimes we start doing the impossible, and while we're in the midst of it, we get scared that we're doing it. All of a sudden it comes to our understanding. Do you realize what you're doing? Do you realize you're doing the impossible? You realize you're doing what nobody else has done? Oh, really? Nobody else has done this? And as long as we're ignorant to it, it was okay. And now all of a sudden we see that nobody else has done this. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You have gotten me out here in the middle of this ocean, and I'm finna sink. No, take your eyes off the waves. Take your eyes off the waves. Look at Jesus. Yeah, there are going to be trials. There are going to be tests. And the things that you're going to go through, the things that you're dealing with, there are going to be issues. There's going to be problems. But what did the Lord say? If you go back to what Joshua said, what did he say? Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I already given you. But if you're too scared to walk on it, you'll never get it. Even if it's yours, you'll never get it. And so what did they do? What are the first thing that the children of Israel had to do? We'll come back to this. What is the first thing that the children of Israel had to do? When they walked down to the Jordan River, and here it is, overflowing its banks. Have you ever seen it? No, y'all have floods here? Yes? Okay, we have floods in Texas. And I had a creek going behind my house, and the thing is that creek would pick up anything that's in its way, and it would carry a car, a man, a boat, whatever it is. It carried down the creek, right? When it was rushing and whatnot. Let me tell you. So here is, it's not just that it's a placid river that's going down. We got a lot of rivers here in Sacramento, don't we? No, but here is the Red Sea, the Jordan River that he said, no, they're going to step into it while it's overflowing its banks. And it's not going to happen. It's not going to stop until you step into it. But, do you know how dangerous that is? Do you know that you can get swept away? Do you know that that's a dangerous thing? It really is a dangerous thing. But if God tells you to do it, He'll take care of you, won't he? So what does the priest do? They're bearing the ark. They step down into it. And all of a sudden, that kept going and that stopped. You're doing it not because this is what I think it's a good idea to go across the Jordan right here. No, you're following the leading of the Lord. That's the important part for us to get a hold of. To follow the leading of the Lord. And when they step down into the Jordan River, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. Now they want to say, well, it wasn't muddy. No, I believe it dried up. And as it went down, I think it sucked all the water and went down that way and it heaped up on this side and they walked across on dry land. Why? Because God had given them clarity and understanding and inspired them to go that way. Did they meet obstacles? Absolutely. When you're walking, if you walk down this sidewalk, you will meet obstacles. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. If you walk to your front porch, you're going to have to go a certain way in order to get there, right? There are going to be things there that could stop you. Now, all right, here's the other thing. What did they do when they went over into Jordan? They went to the first place. Where's the first place that they went? Jericho, right? What did they do in Jericho? The Lord said, I don't want you to say anything. I just want you, these feet, I want you to walk around it. For 7 days, one time every day, on the 7 day walk around it 7 times, then shout. That's what the brother and sister said today. Shout! For the Lord has already given it to you. And this was a fortified, it was an immense fortress.
Yeah.
No way to get into it. They couldn't have rammed it. They couldn't have set it on fire. They couldn't have done anything, but God could.
Amen.
And when we follow God's anointing and God's desire, we can do anything. Now, I am not going to get through this message today. I know that. I'm only about a third of the way through it. So we're probably going to have to pick it up at another time. But here's another point that I want us to do. We can come to a place. I want us to read another scripture, Luke. I'm going to go back to Peter. Peter took his eyes off the Lord. And when the Lord, he said, reached his hand out, and what the Lord said, what did the Lord say to him? He said, O ye of little faith,
yes.
Wherefore didst thou doubt?
Yes.
And you had enough faith to do it. And then in the middle of it, When the circumstances started coming against you, and you started taking your eyes off the Lord and what His ability was, and then you started putting on all the other issues around you, that's when you began to sink. You weren't sinking before. You were trusting me, and as long as you were trusting... Now, listen, I understand. I want you to understand that I know that this is not an easy thing to do, but it's possible.
Amen.
It's not the easiest. It's easier said than done, but it's possible. And the reason that I know it's possible is what God has done for me in times past. I've learned from these things.
That's right.
I've learned. I've been tempted right in the middle of it when things started turning around and going in a different direction. I wanted to say, okay, everything is falling apart. Oh God, what did we do? What did I get us into? I want to say that I've been there. I've been out there. I've done that. But you know what? Then when I say, you know what, Lord, you're taking me through just like you were with me the last time I went through something like this. You're going to take me through this one as well. And when I stand there and after I've done all the stand, I just stand. Sometimes it's just like we ain't going forward and we ain't going backwards. We're not going to lose any ground. I can't take any ground right now, but I'm going to stand right here, Lord, until you come and rescue me. I'm going to take my eyes off of everything that is around me, and I'm going to look at you. And Lord, you're the one that got me out here. I didn't do this on my own. I didn't decide that I wanted to come walking out there. You gave me permission to do it. I was doing the impossible. I stepped out of the boat because you said, come. Not just because I wanted to do it, but I did not get out of that boat until you gave me the command to do it. Now, Lord, you're going to you obligate yourself to take care of me in these kinds of circumstances. What are you going to do about this? I'm standing right here. I'm not moving. When the devil comes and roars and tells you all kinds of things that's going to happen and all this, and I'm just going to stand there and I'm going to resist him. I ain't turning my back. Yeah, because I ain't got no armor back there. I'm not going to turn my back on the devil. I'm going to stand right here. And I'm not going to just stand like this. I'm going to stand like this. You know why we stand like that? A little different because it's harder to push you over, isn't it? When I'm in the stairs and I'm going to have my hands up like this. I have my little sword and I'm going to have my shield of faith. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
A shield of faith wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The devil is going to come to you and he's going to fight you. He's going to come against you. He's going to do everything he possibly can. You hold up that shield of faith.
Yes.
You hold up that shield of faith, and when it comes and it hits it, it bounces off. But when you get all despondent, have you ever been despondent? Have you ever been depressed?
Yeah.
I think if anybody, that's not a state that we're supposed to be in, but we've all been there.
Yeah.
We've all been a little bit, well, you know, I don't know what's going to go on. I don't know what's going to happen. Well, no, I don't know what's going to happen either, but you know what? What benefit is it going to do for you to eat a gallon of ice cream and go to sleep for the next 3 days? What benefit is that going to do? Pull the cover up over your head and don't talk to me. I'm going to, you know, we can do that, can't we? Mm-hmm. And the Lord just wants to wake us up like he did, was it Elijah? Elijah. He said up under the juniper tree, Lord, take my life. Mm-hmm. We get that way. Lord, help us. All right. Okay. Keep your eye on the Lord.
Yes.
We're reading another scripture before we close.
Matthew 14 and 28.
I'm sorry. Luke 17, verse 2.
Luke 17 and verse 3.
Yes.
Take heed to yourselves.
Take heed to yourself.
If thy brother trespass against thee.
Now who are you supposed to be looking at? Your brother? When he didn't die, he didn't trespass against you. But he said, you be careful. Alright?
If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him.
Uh-huh.
And if he repent.
If he repent.
Forgive him.
Forgive him.
And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent.
Thou shalt forgive him. All right, ready.
And the apostle said unto the Lord,
increase
our faith.
And the Lord said,
if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you.
All right, that's good enough for now. All right, so it says here, now it brings all this in together. And I know that this, the fifth verse is kind of a different, he segues into something else, but I wanted to bring out this because it all is here. When it talks about when people offend you, you know, when somebody offends you, it's hard for you to, it can be hard to forgive. Have you ever known how difficult it is to forgive people? Mm-hmm. Oh, you can say, oh, I forgave them a long time ago, but every time that person's name comes up, there's something else. Right? You can forgive with the head without forgiving with the heart. And you know, it's harder for forgiveness to get all the way down there. Trust me. You know why Brother Daryl is saying this kind of stuff? Because Brother Daryl is preaching where he has lived.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you something that somebody told me. This is what old Brother Chandler used to say. No. This is where I forgave people, all kind of people in my head. Yeah. And then, you know, I don't get offended and hold grudges very easily. Anybody that knows me knows that. My wife would say that. But there are people that have hurt me deeply.
Yeah.
And I was just trying to help them, and they have offended me. They've hurt me, and I've had to pray for myself to forgive them.
Yes.
All right. And you know what? Sometimes we have to say, Lord, I don't have the faith to forgive them.
Yes.
But you know what? You can never say I don't want to forgive them. Yes. Because let me tell you, we've dealt with this before. But people that you don't forgive, they have control over you.
Yes.
They control your emotions.
Yes.
They're controlling, they're laying on the beach in Hawaii enjoying themselves, ain't thinking about you, and you over here upset because of something that they did 3 years ago. What benefit is that? You forgive them. Lord, give me the faith, give me the understanding, help me to be progressive, to forgive these people for what they did, and let them loose, and let them float on into Hawaii or wherever they are, and let me go on about my business. But I don't want to carry this big old racket ball that I'm pulling with me because I'm holding grudges against them, all that kind of stuff. Lord, give me, inspire my faith. The Lord can do that for you, can't he? All right, so it says, take heed to yourself. So you look at yourself. And then in the fifth verse it says, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. You know what? Sometimes you don't have enough faith to do what you want to do. And so the thing that we have to do is we have to ask the Lord, increase my faith. Help me to get to the place that I can I can do this. And you know what I've learned? It's just like with anything else. If you've done any exercise or anything like that, you're not, if you're going to start walking, you're not going to jog a marathon, right? You're not going to run a marathon. The first thing you're going to do is be able to get around the block without getting winded. So you're going to go around the block, and then you're going to go around the block fast, twice, and then you're going to go a little faster, and then before you know it, you've built your resistance up to be able to run 26 miles or whatever you want to do. All right. In the same way, when we ask the Lord to increase our faith, we're asking the Lord, Lord, I want you to increase where I am now. I know I've got some faith. I know that I've been walking by faith and not by sight, but there have been a little sight on there. There's been some things in my experience that I've looked at, and I'm thinking, I don't know if that can be done or not. And all of us have been there. Nobody here can say that they haven't been there. All of us have been there. And our job and our responsibility is to say, Lord, help me increase my faith. I don't want to be this year. This is a new year. This is a new decade. It's a new month. It's all the wonderful things that we can say. And Lord, I don't want to be this year where I was last year. I want to be a little further along. I want my faith to be increased a little bit more. I want you to show me. So you know what this is going to do? You know, when we ask for faith, we ask for trials. I've heard people say that, but that is true. Because on down in the list, we talk about faith has to be tested. Yes. In order for it to be true faith, it has to be tested. May the Lord help us. We walk by faith, not by sight.